Welcome to Stitchology, where we craft with intention, guided by God's grace. I am Pastor Tina Krog, and I will be leading today's devotion on select verses from Judith chapters 8 and 13. I serve St. Jacob's Lutheran Church in Massillon, Ohio. Just as a heads up, I will be referencing some select pieces of art in this episode. Now, you don't need to see the artwork to get meaning out of the devotion, but if I've piqued your interest, be sure to check out the links in the show notes so you can see the pieces with your own eyes.
Reading from Judith, translation by Will Gaffney. Now Judith heard the wicked words of the people against the ruler because they were disheartened from lack of water. When she heard all the words that Uzziah said to them, and how he swore to them to surrender the town to the Assyrians after 5 days. So she sent her slave girl, who was set over all she possessed, to summon Uzziah and Shadrach and Sharmus, the elders of her town. Then Judah said to them, "Hear me, and I will do a thing that will go down from generation to generation of our daughters and sons. You all shall stand at the gate this night, and I shall go out, I along with my slave girl, and within the days which you have promised to hand over the town to our enemies, the Holy One will visit Israel through my hand. None of you should investigate my task, for I will not tell you all until I have completed my work." Now Judith had told her slave girl to stand outside the bedchamber and to wait for her to come out, as she did other days, for she said she would go out for her prayer. She spoke to Bagoas these same words. So everyone went out beyond sight, and no one was left in the bedchamber, either small or great. Then Judith, standing beside his bed, said in her heart, "Holy God of all power, look with care in this hour on the work of my hands for the exaltation of Jerusalem. Now is the time to help your heritage and to carry out my intention to destroy the enemies who have risen up against us." She came to the bedpost at Holofernes' head and took down his sword from there. Then she came towards his bed, caught the hair of his head, and said, "Give me strength today, Holy God of Israel." And she struck his neck twice with all her might and cut off his head. Then she rolled his body off the bed and snatched the canopy from the post. A little later, she went out and gave Holofernes' head to her slave girl, placed it in her food bag. Then the two women went out together, according to their custom at the time, for prayer. They passed through the encampment, circled the valley, and went up the mountain to Bethulia and came to its gates. From a distance, Judith called out to the guards at the gates, "Open! Open the gate! God, our God, is with us, working deeds of power in Israel and might against our enemies, as God has done today." And it happened, when the men of her town heard her voice, they rushed to come down to the gate of the city and summoned the elders of the city. They all ran together from small to great, for it was extraordinary to them that she returned. They opened the gate and welcomed the women. Then they lit a fire to provide light and gathered around the women. Then Judith said to them with a loud voice, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God, who did not withdraw mercy from the house of Israel, but has broken our enemies by my hand this night." All the people were completely astounded. They bowed down and worshiped God and said with one accord, "Blessed are you, our God, who has this day humiliated the enemies of your people." Then Uzziah said to Judith, "O daughter, you are blessed by the Most High God above all other women on earth, and blessed be the Holy God who created the heavens and the earth, who has guided you to cut off the head of the leader of our enemies."
Thank you.
Judith is one of my favorite ancient religious figures. I didn't come to know the story of Judith until I was in college, and I was on this obsessive art history kick about a guy named Caravaggio. Because let's face it, that's what college is for, obsessing over Italian artists who lived hundreds of years before you're born. I learned about one of his famous paintings, which was of Judith beheading Holofernes. I knew enough Caravaggio to know that if he was painting a woman, she was almost certainly a biblical figure. And yet, I didn't know anything about Judith. And it turns out that's because Judith isn't in my Bible. Judith is one of the texts that is found only in some canons of scripture that we refer to as the Apocrypha. Now, different faith traditions have various qualifications on what makes a story about God considered scripture, as just opposed to a really good story about God. Judith was written about 150 BCE, and while it has a historical tone to it, it also has a lot of historical inaccuracies. This tells us that the original audience never intended for this book to be read like a history. It also doesn't have enough poetry or metaphor to read like an allegory. So it's a really unique genre. And because it is such a unique book, it doesn't fit neatly into the genre boxes that traditions, like my own Lutheran faith, use to classify authoritative scripture. The Book of Judith looks a little too much like a unicorn to run alongside the horses, if you catch my drift. But despite not being in the Lutheran Bible, faith traditions that do not adhere to apocryphal texts as being scripture still assert that there is something we can learn about the story of God's people within apocryphal texts. In short, if your Bible doesn't have the Apocrypha, be sure to check out these texts to broaden your understanding of how God has worked within the ancient faith community. I love Judith for lots of reasons. First, she affirms a truth about Judaism that we often overlook, the truth that women are held with a lot of respect. It doesn't always appear that way to us as modern readers, but compared to other world religions in the ancient of days, the protections and honor given to women in Judaism was subversive and radical because it was so progressive. Think about what Jesus does in the Gospels, how much respect and honor he shows women. These actions weren't radical because they were anti-Jewish. They were radical because they are authentically Jewish in a time when Roman values had saturated all aspects of society. Jesus' respect for women was not subversive because he was trying to fix Judaism. Jesus' respect of women was subversive because he was demonstrating what authentic Jewish values looked like while living under Roman occupation. We tend to forget this. Good reminder. Judith affirms this truth about Judaism. Judith, like Deborah and Miriam before her, held a position of power within her Jewish community. Her community trusted her to protect them and keep them safe. Their skepticism isn't about whether or not a woman could do this. It's because the Assyrians were so powerful. The people who underestimate Judith in the text are the Assyrians. Because Assyrian culture did not value women, they never expected Judith to be a threat. Judith cleverly uses the one thing that Assyrians value about her body, as the pathway to getting close to her enemy. She seduces Holofernes, lulling him into a false sense of safety. She plays into his assumption that women are only good for one thing, and she uses that to get close beside him. It is because of his own ignorance in assuming that women are only good for sex that Judith was able to get close enough to kill him. There is an artist named Tina Bondel who has a series entitled Fallen Angels. In it, she depicts famous historical women covered in tattoos. One of many ideas playing out in this series that Bondel has crafted is this idea that we make assumption about women because of the tattoos they have on their bodies or the clothes that they wear. She has a striking piece on Judith called I'll Make You Shorter by a Head that really demonstrates how one could easily overlook Judith's power just based on Judith's appearance. We've come a long way over the centuries about the assumptions we make about people based on their appearance. Having a sleeve full of tattoos doesn't keep you from being a lawyer anymore. Being a woman doesn't keep you from working outside of the home these days. We've made a lot of progress since the time of Judith, but if we're honest about it, we still have a long way to go. I still have people that tell me, as I'm standing before them wearing my clerical collar, that they don't believe in female pastors. My current go-to response is, I promise I'm quite real and not a figment of your imagination. We do make assumptions based on people, the clothes they wear, their age, their gender, their race. We all want to be the Judiths of the story, the person running in to save the day. But Lent invites us to enter this story with a posture of confession instead of a posture of congratulation. Instead of being Judith, how might we instead be the Holofernes of our time? Who do we underestimate because of our own assumptions? Who do we take advantage of to satisfy our own pleasures? How might our judgments be keeping us from seeing the truth about who God is? Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, we all want to be the Judith. We want to save the day. But more often than not, we are like Holofernes, making assumptions about people, making judgments with little evidence. Help us to recognize our bias and assumptions. Help us to repent for the ways that we have been short-sighted. Help us to adapt our behavior to see the person standing before us as they truly are. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Easter Blooms Devotion. I am Pastor Tina Krog, and I serve alongside the good folk at St. Jacob Lutheran Church in Maslin, Ohio. I have a Master of Divinity degree from the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, and am currently working on my Doctorate of Ministry degree from the United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities. I am a craftivist, proud mom, avid reader, and have an intimate relationship with coffee from Dunkin'. I would like to uplift my amazing husband, Kevin, for serving as our lector today. Our biblical translation came from Wilda Gaffney's The Women's Lectionary for the Whole Church Year W. Our special music today is entitled Light Emotion by Sergei Quadrado. If you would like to continue to support this ministry, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. There is a link in the show notes. Just a reminder that all of our patrons do receive a discount on cross-stitch patterns on our Etsy shop. Thanks for listening.